on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here, and welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch for this Tuesday afternoon. Black Friday is just around the corner. Later this hour, we'll be joined by Nick Jones, the Executive Vice President of Innovation and Growth at Leo Burnett, and he's actually got his eyes on a few cool apps for your phone that will help you shopping on Black Friday. Andrew Herman is here from DNA Info Chicago, and he'll talk about the Uber drivers and some of the high-class cars that are around town. But we start, as we do each Tuesday afternoon, with John Najarian from CNBC at Option Monster on Twitter. John Najarian, welcome to the program.
Great to be back on with you, Stephen. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk oil, because as I speak, oil is now up, it looks like, almost 3%. It's been a big day, and it goes back to this exchange between the Turkish military and the Russian military, correct?
Correct. I think there were some underlying issues that could have boosted the price of crude oil a little other than that, but this took precedence by far. You guys are 100% on that. The driver, I think, beyond this is that OPEC has a meeting next week, unofficially the 3rd of December in Vienna, but it's a three-day meeting that kicks off on the 4th. And Saudi jawboning about perhaps actually endorsing a cutback in production was one of the reasons that we found a bottom quickly yesterday at about 40. And as you said, we're now through $43 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate, and Brent has made a similar move.
All right, so there was a GDP revision out today. Newly revised government figures show personal savings rate rose at 5.2% in the third quarter. Originally, they thought it was 5%. But here's what's interesting to me. There was an analysis done by Morgan Stanley, and they say the Americans have boosted their savings by $100 billion over the past year. And during that same span, consumer spending on fuel fell by $82 billion. So it looks like maybe we're actually taking the money we save from lower gas prices and saving it. I didn't think Americans saved anymore.
Well, you're exactly right. That's what the evidence shows. And one of the questions that the retailers would love to hear is, are they going to enhance their spending this right season by more than is expected?
Maybe they were saving it for Christmas.
Exactly. I doubt that they're going to ramp up too much, but there is no doubt that with, I believe now, 27 states have gasoline prices under $2 a gallon. We are, unfortunately, as you know, Steve, not one of those, but
no.
It's certainly nice for the states that do have that and for the consumers that live in those areas, because we know that that money either gets saved, which you cited already, or perhaps especially at this time of year, gets spent at various discretionary buys, whether it's Lululemon, Nike, Under Armour, Macy's even. Some of the stocks that have been hit, quite frankly, may see a little better times just ahead.
Well, another government stat out today said that consumer confidence dropped a bit in November, so that's not good news, I guess, as we go into the holidays. I want to ask you, Orion Samuelson said something in the business report that I'd never thought of before. You know, so much of our markets now are world markets, and here comes Thursday where U.S. traders don't have access to the U.S. stock markets, but all the other markets around the world will be in action. And he said that could make for some sort of nervous traders around the Thanksgiving dinner table. Do you see it that way? I mean, are there Americans sort of hands tied because of this holiday?
Well, if there's an event, and we all hope, of course, that there's not, in the way of a terror event, that is, then I think traders will be sort of trapped with very little access to markets overseas for most traders. That would be a problem. On the other hand, volumes tend to lighten up dramatically when the United States isn't open for business. And the same last year occurred. They had that meeting that I just spoke of in OPEC. in Vienna last year. It occurred on Thanksgiving Day when basically Saudi said, no, we're not going to cut production, and crude oil made a dramatic drop on that day. So outside of an event like that, Stephen, I think we're likely to see a lessening of volume and probably tighter ranges overseas rather than big moves.
We want those traders to be able to focus on the Bears-Packers game and not what's going on at OPEC.
Yep, exactly. Though I'm sure that Vlad Putin's going to be focused on that too.
You have a stock tip for us today?
And I'm not sure if he's rooting for the Bears.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be watching the Packers and Bears. Actually, it might be more fun to watch an OPEC meeting.
It could be. And he's certainly jawboning OPEC and Saudi right now. I'm sure Vlad Putin is, as one of the biggest producers in the world. Yes, ahead of OPEC, I've bought a number of energy stocks. Today, we just added for clients EOG Energy. This is crude oil and natural gas play, EOG. The stock is moving up nicely. I wish I could credit myself for doing that.
Go ahead, you can.
It opened today at $83. Now it's $85, and it looks like it's going to keep moving higher. The high for the 52 weeks is $101. Don't know if it gets there, but I do think it's moving higher, primarily because of OPEC, but today because of that downed Russian plane, as you cited.
I want to ask you one more. I've been reading about this stock, this company, Sun Edison, that apparently is doing well this week, but had a rough summer. Or what? Can you sort that out for me? I don't understand this story.
Sure. So many in the alternative energy, I'll call it, space have just been killed. The stock's up 9% today, but it's up to $3.27. That's one-tenth of the 52-week high, which is north of $33. So it's just been a horrible year for these guys. Anybody that makes photovoltaic panels, you know, basically for turning solar into electricity and so forth, just been hammered with the price of crude oil dropping. People aren't spending as much on those panels, even if they're subsidized, and that's been a big problem for SUNE.
All right, John Najarian, great to talk to you again. Listen, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And to you and all the WGN listeners, too. Thank you very much.
We'll check in with you again next Tuesday afternoon. John Najarian, you can see him at CNBC. Also follow him on Twitter at Option Monster. It's 12:22. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Steve Bertrand here on this Tuesday afternoon. And lo and behold, so is Andrew Herman from DNA Info Chicago. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good. You know, we used to have John Hansen here, but we just decided he'd no longer cut the mustard, right?
He's
was that
dead
your
to
decision
us.
Or mine? Was that, yeah.
He's dead to us. So.
He's dead to us.
Just kidding, John.
John has moved on to the wonderful world of TV,
right.
And so we brought in one of his bosses to sit in. And the first story I want to talk about with you, you know, we talk about generally openings or closings, and we'll do a little bit of a twist here with Uber.
Sure.
The smallest, as you pointed out, the smallest business owners in Chicago, really.
Right. It's really your most basic, if you want to go into business, you could become a ride-sharing driver. All you really need is a working automobile and one of these companies like Uber or Lyft or Sidecar, and you make an agreement with them, and basically you turn your car into a taxi cab. The way it works is you agree to do this for a company. It's roughly an 80-20 split on the fare. You keep 80%, the company keeps 20%. And it works out in Chicago to about 15 or 16 bucks an hour. You have to pay your own gasoline and insurance and all that. And you also have to register your car with the city, and you do that through the companies. But what you have to do is you have to run your car through a shop and you fill out a form. And they registered with the city, and we were curious at DNA Info, you know, what kind of cars are out there. I don't use the service very often, but a lot of people at DNA do.
So I don't either, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, and I understand it's great. And so,
right.
I mean, and so yeah. I just don't take cabs. I just don't have the occasion to, but I want to look into it. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, these are guys, you know, or women who are looking for an extra buck.
Right.
So maybe not quite down on their luck, but not riding high. Right?
Right.
So I'm not expecting to see that there's a Bentley registered as an Uber car.
Really? $205,000 Bentley. Somebody has registered. Now, we haven't been able to actually find this Bentley driver. So if you're out there, you know, call us at DNA Info and we'd love to talk to you. But
take a spin around the block.
A Maserati.
Really?
$106,000 Maserati. Wouldn't that be cool to have somebody drop you off on that?
You want to go to the Jimmy John's?
Right. 12 Tesla electric cars, and those go for about $70,000 a piece.
Okay, so you're a smart guy, right?
I try to be.
I think you are.
I like to think so.
Any possibility that that's just sort of a ruse and that Uber's putting that out there? I mean, they would have to bank on you or someone going through the list.
No, because we got this data through the city.
But maybe they did it just to say, well, if it ever comes up, someone would find it. That's a real Easter egg.
Because they are a pretty sophisticated company in regards to PR. Mm-hmm. But we got these through the city, so they are registered cars. But we did find out that there are a lot of cars registered, far more than people are actually doing it. And I think what's happening is that people say, hey, I need a little part-time job. I got a car. I think I want to do this. I'm going to fill out these forms. And then it's like, I don't know if I want to be driving strangers around. And so the vast majority of cars that are registered really are never used in these things.
Okay, I get that. But I was shocked to read in the story that last month there were 35,000 active Uber drivers. So those are drivers who did pick up a fare last month.
Right. And you can work as many hours as you want. If you go to the Uber site, you can see they have all the data there. It shows you how much everybody's working, and some people working less than 10 hours a week. They're just kind of squeezing out a few bucks here and there, and so there are a lot of people, and some people try to turn it into a full-time job.
Now, you don't know how many cabbies there are in the city, do you?
3,600, I think, is the number in there.
The difference, of course, is cabbies are trying to make a go of it full-time.
I'm sorry, 13,000 licenses 13, for taxis.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so there's 150,000 cars registered through these ride services. So far more of them, but a taxi driver, he's out there humping 12 hours a day.
Exactly.
As we all know, who's ever taken a cab in Chicago, because they like to tell you how hard they work.
Maybe stopping up in Lincoln Park for a hot dog once in a while at Devil Dogs.
As long as it's not too late.
As long as it's not too late. So this is sort of, as you said, a cautionary tale. Here's this hot dog stand. Been in Lincoln Park on Sheffield, just south of Webster, right?
2147 North Sheffield Devil Dogs, owned by a guy named Alan Katz.
Relying on the bars closing and people flooding out into, which is how the Wiener Circle does so well, right, over on Clark Street.
Sure.
But the neighbors here don't like it so much.
Yeah, he was open till 3 o'clock, he had a lot of clientele from DePaul, right? DePaul students, they're out, some of them overserved even.
Come on.
They're college kids. Who knows? They might be just naturally loud. I don't know. But they were there, and they were making a lot of noise, and the neighbors didn't like it. They've been complaining for years. They enlisted the help of the alderman, Michelle Smith, there, and they brought this guy before the city, and the city has ordered him to close at 11. So he was open till 3 o'clock. He now has to close at 11 o'clock. He says it's costing him $12,000 a month in lost sales.
So little advice about getting along with your neighbors and doing what you can.
Right. So if you're a small business person and your neighbors have something to say about your business, you probably should maybe try and work something out, because at least in the city of Chicago, you could find that your business is being shut down early. Now, he goes back before the city in the spring, and he wants to extend the hours. But for now, He's shut down at 11 o'clock.
That's excellent. We did that whole thing without a single hot dog pun. Andrew Herman, nice to see you.
All right.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Very own 720 WGN.
Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. A busy news day, as you heard Kim say. And in fact, we expect to hear from State's Attorney Nita Alvarez coming up maybe within a half an hour or so, and you can hear that live on 720 WGN when it happens as well. But first, Mark Holodic is here, fresh from Canada through Boston and into the north side of Chicago. He's a vice president of operations with Earl's Kitchen and Bar. Mark, bring that microphone right up to you. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm interested in, I was joking earlier that Donald Trump is so worried about blocking off the southern border. Here comes Earl's through the northern border. So 66, 67 restaurants in Canada.
Yeah.
And then now the Chicago is the seventh in the U.S.
This is number seven, yeah.
Are you nationwide in Canada?
We are almost nationwide. So we're from Vancouver all the way east to Toronto.
And why Chicago?
Well, we have been eyeing Chicago for a while. It was one of our top priorities to grow in here, and our chief development officer found the right spot for us, so it was time to go.
So I'm interested in what you have is an established national brand in another country, albeit Canada, but another market completely, and then you start to come into not just a new city, but a new country in some ways. And it's the first one here, so you have to sort of declare your identity. So tell me how a restaurateur comes into a town, a chain, and declares his identity.
Especially a city like Chicago. A
couple restaurants around.
Yeah, one of the greatest dining destinations in the world, let alone North America. So for us, honestly, we're going to get more out of Chicago than we're going to be able to give back. So our thing is, if we can do business here and if customers will choose us, then we know we're on the right path. So for us, this is a real test. This is going to be tell us whether we can keep growing or not.
You're North and Clyburn.
North and Clyburn, yeah, and the new city development that's gone up. There's a big Arclight Theater there, Mariano's.
Up and running, what, 3 or 4 weeks now?
This is our fourth week of business, yes.
And how's it going?
So far, so good. Business has been steady and growing, and we expect it to be one of our top 3 or 4 locations.
So I read in the press release that Earl's considers itself an unchain, and that sort of you make yourself unique to every location.
Yeah.
Is that marketing material, or is that really true?
It definitely sounds like marketing material. but I think when you think about a chain, you think about a design that's standardized, a menu that's standardized, and people sort of are pushing back against that, and we couldn't be further from that.
Right, you can go to Boston and have the same curly fries in that you can have in L.A.
Exactly, so each design is unique, our team is local, it's all craft beers in the menu, the food menu is 25% unique, so there's a lot, and the art is, we try to put local artists on the wall, so we're really trying to make ourselves part of the community instead of imposing our brand on the community.
So you come with a brand, right? And you come with an identity. When you come into an area where you don't have an established workforce familiar with your identity or with a history with your identity, how do you translate it? How do you keep it common?
Yeah, our brand is our culture, is what it really is. So we bring in a big ambassador group of frontline partners, including our trainers, to help us train our staff that we've hired here. So we hired 320 locals, and we probably brought in 120 people to help train them. So the ratio is really 3-to-1 to make sure we sort of help everyone learn our culture.
And how long do the ambassadors who come in stay?
They start about a month prior, and they're going to be here 3 months after we open.
And so tell me about the restaurant why would someone be interested in Earl's and not one of the other many choices in Lincoln Park?
For as far as the dining destination?
Yeah. Well, not drinks, right? All the drinks are custom, too.
Yeah, it's the cocktail program is great, but you get a lot of care and soul put into every dish, and there's a lot of uniqueness. So it's like I said, the craft cocktail program is what you would expect from a top independent. It's not so to you, we ask people just to shed their what they think a chain might be and come and give us a try.
And how long do you have in a restaurant when it comes in? I mean, I would imagine that Earl's is in a stronger position because there are so many successful restaurants behind it. But and I don't want to bring in bad luck, but there might be a time when you say, "Well, it didn't work."
Well, that, thankfully.
Has that ever happened to you before, Mark?
If
you could see the look on Mark Halotic's face right now. I mean, because, they talk about restaurants being a very risky business.
Yeah, most close.
And, here, you got, like I said, you have to sort of declare yourself.
Yeah, well, we'll be here. We'll be our leases for 30 years, so we're banking on that as a starting point.
Well, good. Well, I can't wait to be there the first time, and I can't wait to go, and I'm old and in a wheelchair, too. Mark Halotic, the Executive Vice President of Earl's Kitchen and Bar. One more time, North and Clyburn area, right?
Yeah, New City Development.
I think it's probably do a little holiday shopping this weekend and stop by and see what it's all about.
That'd be great. We'd love to see you.
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Orion Samuelson, Kim Gordon, and Dolly McCarthy. You're listening to The Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. All right, get ready. Good Friday just around the corner. Good Friday. Well, that's around a big corner. I guess Black Friday is a little bit closer than that. And that's what everyone's been talking about lately. And you will hear it till it's coming out your ears over the next few days. Nick Jones, the Executive Vice President of Innovation and Growth from Leo Burnett, is in the studio to tell us that you don't need your wallet on this Black Friday. Nick, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
And I just want to start by saying, you're proof that a degree in English literature can move on to a successful business
career. There is work after that, yeah.
So tell me about this idea, because I'm not quite there yet, and I know there's some people who will, you know, pay for their Starbucks with an app on their phone or things like that, but you argue really that you probably can do just about all your shopping and pay with your phone.
Yeah, we're referring to it as frictionless commerce. I mean, it's taking away any and all barriers to you being able to shop and pay easily. And now you can use, whether it's Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, Android Pay, they all have apps. Very simply, they scan your credit card. You put in, obviously, the necessary passwords and pins or thumbprint. And the next time you use it, you just use your phone instead of your card.
How common is that that retailers will take it now?
Particularly with Apple Pay leading the way. And since most of the retailers have NFC recognition capabilities, it's becoming pretty widespread. I think by next holiday, it'll be almost ubiquitous, but certainly it's very, very common.
Ubiquitous among the stores, but maybe not the shoppers yet?
Yeah, I think it's starting to get critical mass. I think, you know, the more tech-savvy user is out there already using this on wearables and on their phone. But I think by next Christmas, we'll be getting into the more of the masses.
What's to hold us up? Just fear?
I think some people have concerns about security, but really the security of your phone is right up there with the security of your credit card. And I think once, you know, the MasterCards, the American Expresses of the world have bought into this, they're going to make sure that it's at least as secure as anything we've been using before.
We're talking to Nick Jones from Leo Burnett about maybe a few apps that you might want to consider when you go shopping. And the idea, too, you recommend that, you know, turn your Bluetooth on. Make sure that your Bluetooth is on when you go into a store, because that allows you then to get alerts from the stores and other places as well, right?
Exactly. So most of the big retailers, you know, the Walmarts, the Targets, Starbucks, they're already adopting what we call beacon technology, so that using near-field communications or NFC, they can send you a message, provided your Bluetooth is turned on, and tell you of offers, deals, discounts that you might want to know about.
All right. Tell me about Around Me.
So Around Me is one of those sort of geolocation-based apps that I use, and it essentially tells you all of the bars, restaurants, stores, etc. that are in the immediate vicinity to where you are. And it's particularly good for, let's say, things around the holidays, like we use up a lot of gas, and it will tell you the cheapest gas station within a certain circumference, which is a really helpful app.
So if you're out, you want to find lunch somewhere, rather than searching the restaurant name, Around Me will tell you what might be around the
corner.
What's
right around. So much, much more useful, because you want something nearby, not necessarily just a particular name.
And Shop Savvy?
Shop Savvy is one where I think everybody's looking for that app that tells them, have they got the best deal, the lowest price. Shop Savvy, you just scan the barcode of a product in store, and it will go out there into the cloud and just find you whether you have the best price.
And what was the other one? ShopKick, I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah, and ShopKick has been around a while, but it's really, again, that's starting to get critical mass. So ShopKick is more of a rewards-based system, but again, in all the big retailers, and you're basically rewarded for coming to the store, maybe going down a specific aisle and looking at a particular display, and then you can use those points towards gift certificates and cards at the retailer.
So many of us wait for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and grab the newspaper or go online and clip the coupons or print the coupons. Even printing the coupons is old school now, right? You can just wait for the coupon to come to you in the store.
Yeah, more and more apps are doing that, where you can just, you know, make yourself known to the store by putting Bluetooth on, and then the offers come to you.
So we went to, it was Pier 1 Imports a couple of weeks ago, bought a piece of, I don't want to call it art, because it's, you know, it's common.
Right.
But we bought a wall hanging to put up on our wall. And we weren't sure about the color, and then we went back and bought another version of it a week later, and it was 20% off. And so we kind of were stuck, you know, if we wanted the more expensive one or the cheaper one. There's also this app called Paribus.
Paribus, yeah.
And that might have served me well.
That would have solved that problem for you. So provided you just, sort of log in those items, the more higher end items that you've paid for, it will then automatically continue to search for, has the price dropped either at that retailer or a different retailer? Because most retailers today will offer you a price
matching, right?
Yeah.
All right, so explain that for me. So say I buy a heavy winter coat.
Right.
Then I put the details of it in the app?
Yeah, so then you basically put the details in or scan the receipt.
And what are the
So the receipt, yeah. Okay. So it'll tell you, it'll scan the information in the receipt. And then what happens is, if next week it goes down by $50, they will actually go get that $50 from the retailer and deliver it to your account without you having to do anything.
So you don't have to go return it?
You don't have to go return it. They're just matching the price that they agreed to.
Well, Nick, we should be doing that this afternoon. That's amazing. Yeah. Thanks very much for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is Nick Jones, Executive Vice President of Innovation and Growth at Leo Burnett. I have my notes all over the place. Well, have a good holiday.
And you. Thanks so much.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.